The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, Colm Buig, broadcaster with Off the Ball, is with me to talk about the weekend sport, but particularly to look at the rugby. We're also joined by former Ireland international Gordon Darcy. Gordon, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm going to the match tonight. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm wondering what kind of a spectacle to expect, because in some of the reporting, it's saying this is the greatest grudge match of all time between the All Blacks and ourselves. And whether we're the ones bearing the grudge after the World Cup or they're the ones bearing the grudge after a couple of humiliations at the hands of Ireland, I don't know. What do you think?
Well, listen, it's great. It's great that you're going to the match. I was talking with a couple of friends during the week, and they were saying, "Are you going to watch the match?" And I said, "You don't go to the Aviva to watch a match like this. You go to experience it." And I think that's exactly what is going to be this evening. When you want to watch a match, you sit at home, you watch it on TV. I was talking with an ex All Black, Andrew Mertens, this week, and I think he framed it really, really well. He said it's not a particularly warm relationship on the pitch, but it's built off of mutual respect off the field. And I think there is a bit of that. And I think it ebbs and flows over time, and has done since we got that first win in Soldier Field. So there was a definite dislike for Ireland and their supporters from New Zealand and the All Blacks coming up into that quarterfinal in the World Cup. And I think a lot was said on the pitch and off of it, and a lot wasn't said. And I think that will carry over now, and it's probably a bit of a role reversal. And I think Ireland really have New Zealand in their sights, and they want this win and this performance as much as New Zealand, say, wanted it in the in the World Cup.
Now, you've been writing about the haka and how we have to overcome the effect of the haka. I mean, on one level, and I know we should be respecting the haka and all the traditional symbolism that it contains, but on one level, it's kind of silly.
I don't agree, but I think history and tradition, I think we go into a professional world. I think we have to maintain, I think rugby has done that pretty well, we have to maintain our history, our traditions, our values within a sport. And it is something that's very unique about rugby, that we have the haka, and we have it with from the Pacific Island nations as well. What I grew to, I had a really enjoyable trip down memory lane this week writing about the haka. It is about a challenge, and you know, when you're on the field, I think Ireland now can feel they accept the challenge. The haka is basically a challenge from New Zealand to say, come fight and you know, come up against us. And most teams genuinely can't accept that challenge because they don't have the capacity or the belief or the resources to beat New Zealand. But I think we're at a place now where we can accept that. And I think that's where you say, I got to my last game against New Zealand in 2013. I felt we were capable of beating them, and this Irish team now, they have that belief. They have the players, they have an incredible coaching ticket, they have everything playing at home, so there will be a very strong belief. So when they're facing that haka, it's not about marching forward and, you know, facing it down Willie Anderson style. It is about squaring up to it, not letting it be anything more than it is, and accepting that challenge. And then the performance comes off the back of that.
I mean, there was a time when we looked at matches against the All Blacks as, let's watch this for entertainment. We know we're going to be beaten. Now, that day has gone happily. We always are in there with a chance. But it used to be, it was a display, really, by the All Blacks, showing the Northern Hemisphere how the game could be played. So in terms of the relative strengths and weaknesses of the two teams, where do you see the deficits for Ireland? Where do you see the strengths for Ireland, and vice versa for the All Blacks?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's more or less a full strength team for Ireland. Tadhg Furlong being out is is always a worry when you have such a internationally respected prop. But Finlay Beelam has come in, and he has done very, very well every time he's been called upon. I think the way they've picked the second rows with James Ryan and Joe McCarthy, I think there will be enough there from a scrummaging perspective for us to get at least a parity in the scrum. I think the advantage for Ireland is we're playing at home. We have key players. We're all fit. I think we have Mac Hansen being back is a huge bonus for Ireland. Kind of our key creative players. You've got James Gibson-Park, Jack Crowley, Mac Hansen, and James Lowe. They're the guys we want to see. We want to see them on the ball. our forwards are going to, rugby is very simple in a lot of ways, Pat. Get possession, get over the gain line quickly, and if you've got good creative backs, they can do an awful lot of damage. And that's effectively what Ireland are going to try to do. They're going to try and get over the gain line with their pack. The same pack that went down to South Africa and won down there. So they're going to be hard-nosed and looking to play a physical game. For New Zealand, they're on the road. There's an awful lot of touring is tough. It's the end of a long season for them. And I think McKenzie hasn't settled at 10. And I think that has to be an area that Ireland have to go after. They have to try and find a way to turn the screw on McKenzie and put pressure, heap pressure onto him. But there really isn't much. You can talk about the nuances and opinions and views and everything. Within 5 minutes, we'll know which team is mentally there or mentally just that little bit up on their team. But there isn't much in it, Pat, and now, it's going to Gordon, be a phenomenal
the,
game.
The importance of the set pieces. I mean, you just got to win your line out, and in the scrum, you don't want to give the ref any excuse to blame you all the time. Now, I never understood what goes on at the front row anyway, so I'm not sure you, as an insight centre,
you're not the only one, Pat, there, so you can agree on that.
You're trying to listen to the ref radio to figure out why did he give that penalty or why didn't he give that penalty to our side. So I don't know, but you've got to demonstrate to the ref, it appears, that you're not at fault, and you definitely have to win your lineouts.
You do. Gert Small was the Irish coach when he was in there, and he said, listen, if things aren't going right, you also have to be adaptable on the pitch. And I think if that doesn't happen, the simplest, it's always the path of least resistance, Pat. So win your set piece, don't give penalties away at scrum time, and you're already in good footing. But if things don't go right, I think this Irish team has been very adaptable, and New Zealand are very adaptable to this as well, that you have to find another way to win. And that might be around through counter-attacking, or it might through broken field play, or just an individual bit of creativity. So all is not lost if you lose that piece, but it's the first battleground, and you don't want to be losing that one because it does make the job, a very, very tough job, a little bit harder.
Yeah, and there's a fellow we're told to watch out for, this fellow Wallace Atiti, who did really well against England, even though I suppose at the end of the day, the All Blacks might have been lucky to win against England. And his father, it appears, was a great test player for Samoa. So it's in the genes there. Be looking out for your man tonight. But what your own prediction for tonight? Have we enough weapons in our armory to do the job?
Oh, listen, absolutely. You know, there is no reason that Ireland can't win, but equally there's no reason that New Zealand can't win. This is as finely balanced a game as we've had since going down to South Africa and the World Cup recently. So there is nothing in this game. There is 3 points. There's a 3-point swing in this for me. I think Ireland will. If I was sitting in that changing room now, I can put myself into the position sitting there and going, I would have absolute belief in all the players 1 to 23 in my team, and knowing that if I do my job and if my team do our job, and my players in the team do their job, we have enough to win. And that quiet confidence is very, very powerful. So I don't know who's going to win, but you know, throwing the player's hat back on, I could comfortably sit in that changing room now knowing we can win and we should win.
Gordon Darcy, thank you very much for joining us. Colin Bowie is here to talk about the rest of the sport. Something not on your list, I suppose, is that Raygun Gunn has retired.
Raygun, yeah.
Yeah, Raygun. She couldn't really hack the scrutiny that has been brought to bear on her after the Olympics and her extraordinary performance.
I mean, do people need reminding? She did breaking on behalf of Australia, yeah. And then she decided to wear the Australia uniform. So most of the other competitors and performers did their own thing. But she was very patriotic, first of all. And then secondly, it's like every Olympics patch is we all become experts in what we're watching, this brand new sport after 5 minutes. And we all thought that she just wasn't quite up to standard. But unfortunately, everyone took to social media, and Raygun took it really badly. We actually tried to get her on the show, Pat. We wanted to talk to her about it, but it's sad.
She's retired now.
She's retired. Anyway, she's out of the limelight.
That's the end of it. Okay, there are a number of other test matches on rugby. We won't linger on those because our concentration was obviously on the Ireland match at Aviva. But let's talk about the Premier League. What's in store?
Yeah, we have Manchester United playing Leicester City on Sunday. That'll be Ruud van Nistelrooy's last game in interim charge before Ruben Amorim, the departing Sporting manager, takes charge from Monday. And of course,
and he's coming
Sporting
in with a win behind him, isn't he?
He beat Manchester City 4-1 in the Champions League. And 2 years ago, they lost 5-1 at home to City in the Champions League. And that's how good Amorim and Sporting have been this season in the last couple of years.
The corollary is that if, for example, Manchester United facing City again this season are beaten roundly by City, he can say, it's not my fault. Oh, I had the other gang, we beat them 4-1.
Look at this mess of inherited, he'll say to you, Pat, if he's on the show with you. Yeah, like it's an exciting new era because he's only 39, and I say that because all the other managers since Alex Ferguson have been a bit older and possibly on the come down or else not quite at the level, like Jose Mourinho, Louis van Gaal, and then Erik ten Hag. So it's a lot of excitement around Amorim because he was linked to Manchester City, with Liverpool, with West Ham, but Manchester United have acquired him. But like we say it every single time, Pat, you and I, when we talk about Manchester United, you just can't predict what's going to happen. And that includes this Sunday against Leicester City, who they should beat every day of the week, but you don't know if they will.
Yeah. Now, they had a win last night.
They did. They beat Pauk in the Europa League at Old Trafford. It was an extremely poor first half. The interim manager, Van Nistelrooy, didn't hold back from his assessment afterwards, saying that they were structurally all over the place. They were out of position, the United players. Usually that's the case with the captain, Bruno Fernandes, but it was everyone. But they improved markedly in the second half. And Amad Diallo, who last season was on loan at Sunderland, has been started the season in the team, then went out of it and is now back in. And he scored twice last night, a looping header and then a lovely curling effort with his left foot, albeit deflected one, but he showed great fight to win the ball back. United eventually played well, but Pauk had two big opportunities to score themselves. It was a very typical Ten Hag United performance, actually. And that's the cultural issue with this Manchester United side, is that it doesn't really matter who's in the dugout at the moment. It would take a long time to fix it.
And Ruud van Nistelrooy, I mean, not too many days to do anything. No, to put his own stamp on
it. I mean, he's been there since the summer, so he has a few months to look at what's happening. But like he's done well. He's won two and drawn one of his three interim games. Yeah. And they already played Leicester in the first game, so they should beat them again. But you never know. Look, Alex Ferguson was also appointed in November as Manchester United manager, but it took him 4 years to sort it out. And I don't think Amorim will get that time. He signed a 2.5-year contract.
Okay, and I hope it doesn't take that long.
I don't think Ferguson would have lasted if it was nowadays with that.
All right, what else? I mean, West Ham and Everton, that's on Saturday.
Yeah, you know, the story going around there is that the West Ham manager, Julian Lopetegui, his job is at risk there if West Ham lose to Everton. We talked about it on Monday, they lost to Nottingham Forest last weekend. It's a strange one because Lopetegui is a highly rated manager. He managed in the Premier League already with Wolves. Everyone thought that was a good appointment by West Ham, but it just has not worked out at all yet.
Well, what's your rating of Nottingham Forest? I mean, they're well up there in the, I don't know, are they third or fourth?
Yeah, they're up the, they're way above where they should be.
Yeah, and so I'm just wondering, are they the, do you remember years ago when Leicester City came out of nowhere?
Yeah. And no, I mean, I don't think it's going to be a Leicester 2015-16 situation where, that was before Pep Guardiola and Jurgen Klopp wasn't long in the door. In fact, that was his first season at Liverpool. It was a good time to win the league, to take advantage of other performers. I think if Forest finished top half, it's a successful season.
Liverpool-Villa.
Yeah, Liverpool, it's going to be interesting. Like, Arne Slot just keeps on winning as Liverpool manager. They hammered Xabi Alonso's Bayer Leverkusen 4-0 during the week. And Aston Villa, who have been everyone's kind of darlings, they're kind of everyone's second team, that Unai Emery is doing such a good job. But they've kind of fallen off a bit lately. They've lost a couple of games. They lost badly at Spurs. They lost midweek in the Champions League. But that will be a really good match.
Yeah, okay. And on Sunday, Chelsea and Arsenal, Arsenal have got to stop the rot, haven't they?
Exactly, yeah. No, like I'd be a bit worried for Arsenal. Like Manchester City are on a worse run than Arsenal at the moment, but I'd fear about Arteta and Arsenal more. Do you know what I've said all season long? Arteta's taking it all very seriously. There's not much fun happening at Arsenal. And I think they need to start remembering why they're there in the first place to play a bit of football and be creative.
And entertain the fans.
Exactly.
The FAI Cup final.
Yeah, Drogheda United against Derry City.
Is that a foregone conclusion?
No, not necessarily. Derry really limped home in the season. They at one point, they should have won the league and they didn't. And they blew that. And Drogheda actually have probably an arguably more important game next week in a relegation playoff. Derry should win this game, especially with the system that Drogheda play with the 5-3-2, that Derry should be able to take advantage of that in the wide areas. They have better players. but you just can't really trust Rory Higgins' side, Derry.
Yeah.
If they win it, it will be a bright end to a disappointing end to the season.
Yeah, having lost narrowly against Shelburne and see Shelburne take the title.
Exactly.
This would be a consolation prize.
Yeah, look, they were out of it last Friday night anyway, but for the champions to win, so disappointing.
Great stuff. Colin Buick from Off the Ball. Thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.